Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Apollo Hospitals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Margaret. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call to discuss the financial results of Apollo Hospitals for the first quarter of financial year 2022-23, which were announced yesterday. We have with us on the call today the senior management team represented by Mrs. Suneeta Reddy, Managing Director, Dr. Hari Prasad, President of the Hospitals Division, Mr. A. Krishnan, Group CFO, Mr. C. Chandrasekar, CEO of AHLL, Mr. Obul Reddy, CFO of the Pharmacy Division, and Mr. Sanjiv Gupta, CFO of Apollo 24/7. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Please note the disclaimer mentioning these risks and uncertainties on slide 2 of the investor presentation that has been shared with all of you earlier. Documents relating to our financial performance have been circulated earlier, and these have also been posted on the corporate website. I would now like to turn the call over to Mrs. Suneeta Reddy for her opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for taking time to join our earnings call. I trust all of you have received our earnings documents, which we shared yesterday. We have commenced fiscal year 2022-23 on a very strong note. After two financial years marked by disruption, the start of this financial year is characterized by a more stable environment, leading to normalized economic activity. We have seen an increase in volumes and occupancies accompanied by the return of planned high-end surgeries. This has enabled the healthcare services business to register a strong recovery in quarter one FY23, with patient volumes and revenues higher as compared to quarter one FY22 and quarter four FY22. Quarter one FY23 occupancy across the group was at 60%. IP volumes increased 9% quarter-on-quarter. The occupancy must also be viewed against the backdrop of ALOS of 3.38 days, down from 4.81 in quarter one FY22, where COVID dominated, and 3.57 in quarter four FY22. ARPOB also improved sequentially from 48,510 in quarter four FY22 to 51,999 in quarter one 2023, an increase of 7%. In a significant shift in payer mix, insurance revenue now contributes 41% of our overall revenue, up by 34% from pre-COVID times. Cash and insurance segments registered a quarter-on-quarter improvement of 15% in revenues. Our focus on centers of excellence has resulted in a quarter-on-quarter growth of 7% in cardiac, 17% in oncology, 12% in neurosciences, 28% in orthopedics, 19% in gastro sciences, and 18% in transplants. Surgical revenue now is 68% of the total revenue, up from 60% during COVID times. We also have a promising uptick in the international patient volume and revenues. We have reached 85% of our pre-COVID levels on volume and are par on revenues. Against this backdrop, let me walk you through our consolidated financials for the quarter. Consolidated revenues grew 7% quarter-on-quarter to 3,796 crores. Healthcare services grew by 9% quarter-on-quarter to 2,023 crores. Mature healthcare services revenue grew by 13% to 1,147 crores, while the new hospitals degrew by 1% to 577 crores. Apollo HealthCo revenues grew 8% quarter-on-quarter to 1,479 crores. Within Apollo HealthCo, the digital business recorded a GMV of 215 crores for the quarter, which is a sequential growth of 21% and 34% on a like-to-like basis, excluding the Omicron impact in January 2022. 232 net new stores were opened this quarter, taking the number to 4,761 stores. AHLL revenues stood at 293 crores, a decline of 5% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. This was primarily because the COVID and COVID-allied testing revenues that increased during the Omicron wave in quarter four last year. Non-COVID diagnostic revenues, however, grew 12% quarter-on-quarter. Consolidated EBITDA stood at rupees 491 crores, registering a quarter-on-quarter growth of 6%. Within this, healthcare services EBITDA grew 19% quarter-on-quarter to rupees 484 crores. Healthcare services margins were at 23.9%. A 206 basis points improvement over the sequential quarter. Margins in mature hospitals were strong at 26.4%. Margins in new hospitals stood at 17.7% for the quarter. The pharmacy distribution segment in Apollo HealthCo recorded an EBITDA of 112 crores at a steady margin of 7.6%. Operating costs at Apollo 24/7 came in at 135 crores. Therefore, AHLL's EBITDA post-Ind AS was 29 crores compared to an EBITDA of 37 crores in quarter 4, 22. Consolidated PAT is at 317 crores after deferred tax liability reversal of 147 crores. Consolidated healthcare services PAT was at 222 crores as compared to 176 crores in quarter 4 FY22, a quarter-on-quarter growth of 27% in PAT for healthcare services. I am pleased to share that we recently acquired a hospital asset in Gurugram from Nayati Healthcare for a consideration of 450 crores. The asset has a potential of 650 beds across 7 lakh square feet. We are excited about strengthening our footprint in the national region and look forward to taking our unique brand of world-class clinical outcomes to the fast-growing and discerning city. We expect the facility to take pole position in attracting medical value travelers from around the world. In addition to building strong centers of excellence, we also plan to create a comprehensive ecosystem of care across pharmacies, clinics, day surgery, birthing centers, and primary care clinics in the region to complete our offering. The integrated healthcare complex at Gurugram is expected to be commissioned in a span of 24 months. We would also like to provide a few operating metrics on Apollo 24/7. The platform now has 17 million registered users and is completing 35,000 transactions per day, up from 25,000 a quarter ago. The GMV run rate is now on track to deliver 1,500 crores for FY22-23 against the earlier guidance of 1,000 crores. To sustain the growth momentum, we do expect to incur 20% higher expenditure than guided earlier. We are already seeing a rationalization in loyalty costs and discounts and expect them to trend lower going forward. Overall, we are on track to become the number two digital player in the country during the current fiscal year. Looking ahead, we believe that the momentum in the healthcare services business will continue. Occupancy at a group level will improve from 60% to 70% over the next 12 to 15 months, an improvement of 15%. This will result in a revenue growth of 15 to 20% and an unlock in operating leverage, which will lead to an EBITDA expansion of around 35%. We have demonstrated our ability to actively optimize our payer mix and our case mix and these efforts will continue to drive margin expansion up to 200 basis points. The diagnostic business within AHLL can scale to 1,000 crore top line within the next 3 years. The digital business within Apollo HealthCo has shown significant traction and is tracking faster than planned numbers. The pharmacy distribution business will continue to grow at 20% with our focus on private label products, complemented by an accelerated store expansion plan. We expect margins in this business to hold steady. The deep capabilities and mix of offerings that we provide to consumers through our omnichannel, multifaceted engagement model, which is differentiated across the value chain, is indeed very unique and forms the basis of our belief in our strong, sustained growth potential. We view the three verticals as three engines of growth and remain committed to our core value system of building solutions and offerings that will deliver the best clinical outcomes and are integrated and meaningful for the consumer. We intend to deliver, to deepen our relationships with them over a longitudinal time frame and create lasting value for our stakeholders. On that note, I would like to hand over to the moderator and open the line for questions and answers. I have Dr. Hari Prasad with me, Dr. Hari Prasad, Krishnan, Obul Reddy, Chandra and Sanjeev with me to take all your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We would also request participants to limit your question to two at a time. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nitin Gosar from Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I wanted to understand the reason for increase in operating costs in 24/7.
Sanjeev?
Yeah, so I think a couple of important points that we need to understand as far as 24/7 is concerned. One is that, the last quarter we had only 16 days of, numbers. If you prove it, the overall expenditure for the last quarter was in the range of about 100 crore. We took a conscious call to, keep the number two position in the country, given the fact that there is a lot of traction from the customers. We are seeing a lot of, intake of, various services that you're providing to the customers. And what we decided is that we pulled a little bit of expenditure from Q3 to Q1 and Q2. And what this helps us is to get the, not only the number two spot, but also it helps us to, provide more services to the existing customers or the new set of customers. So this is a conscious decision for Q1. And I do expect that a similar, numbers would be there for Q2 as well. But beyond that, we don't expect, expenditure to go up, sequentially. I think the guidance would be that, 50% growth overall in the year, from 1,000 crore GMV to 1,500 crore GMV, which will place us to be number two spot in the country, would be managed within 20%, overall increase in the expenses. Another two, three things that we're doing internally now is that, one is that the discount on the pharmacy vertical is tapering down, and some due to the external factors and some because of the kind of continuum of care that we provide in 24/7, already we reduced by 1%, and we do hope that another 0.5% to 0.75% we should be doing it in current month, apart from the fact that we've got certain more optimization initiatives. So I think with this, I would only say that taking a second spot in the country is equally important. The companies which are there in this industry for last 7 to 8 years, and we being only 2 years old, and in one quarter down in third year, taking that spot is not easy. You need you need a lot of efforts, you need some bit of investment, and I think this investment is what we see in Q1. This is slightly higher than Q4, but it is important.
Got it. And just wanted a thought process around this 24/7 cost structure. So 400 crore was the earlier called out number, which is going to be the investment which will go through P&L. Now that number has gone up and it may stay elevated for FY23. Incrementally as we progress, these numbers are going to stay elevated, keeping in mind especially the environment which was very conducive for e-commerce until last year. The liquidity was high at that point of time and liquidity is low at this point of time. It only allows people like us to, you know, sustain the business model with a lower cash burn. How do we, you know, look through going forward on the cash burn, especially for incremental quarters post sale, second quarter onwards?
So, as we said, you know, earlier, the last quarter we had, you know, we kind of provided the guidance about 450 crores of annual expenditure in digital business. I think 20% higher is what we're looking at this stage. And we strongly believe that, you know, we would be able to do a meaningful job to get to the number two spot, to deliver 50% higher volumes instead of 1,000 crore to 1,500 crore GMV, and well within the guided numbers.
Okay. And for FY23, this number should not be at 550. It should come down.
Yeah. FY24,
the number should be less than 550.
Yeah. All efforts in that direction, sir.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Request participants to limit your question to two at a time. The next question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead. Damayanti Kerai, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. Request you to unmute yourself and proceed with your question. Due to no response, we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Lavanya from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So, going ahead with Apollo 24/7, I just wanted to understand on the numbers reported in results note. So, how the GMV will be different from the revenue reported from 24/7 digital, and the sale from through the online channel will be considered as part of pharma distribution? I just wanted some clarification here.
Yeah, so I think, So, ma'am, I think you gave the answer, you know, in your question itself. You're right. So the entire online pharmacy, you know, GMV would be part of the, you know, the front end and back end sales. So that would be the first part of it. And second, how GMV to revenue get reconciled is, you know, typically in the e-commerce companies, you know, GMV is the platform transactions that are done, and your revenue is the commission that you charge to the service providers. So this entire GMV gets into various companies. So, for example, you know, the entire virtual consultation would be the revenue in, you know, Apollo Hospitals. The entire pharmacy GMV would be part of the front end, back end, and the entire diagnostic services would be part of the EHLS.
Got it. So the take rate for this each segment will be in the range of?
So take rates are different for different verticals, and you know, depending upon you know, the kind of volumes that we have. It, for example, on the virtual consultations, we have a take rate between 5 to 10% depending upon the specialty, and on the diagnostic, we have a slab based rate. So currently, we are at about 12 to 13%. As volume goes up, there is another slab that kicks in, and accordingly, all these take rates are marked to market from that sense.
Okay, got it. Thank you. And on the hospital business, I have seen in the presentation that excluding vaccination in the base quarter, the growth is 7% YOY. But in the base quarter, it has COVID-related occupancy also, which would be impacting, if I understand right. So I need some clarification here.
First quarter was a 13% if you exclude vaccines. So Q1 versus Q1, excluding vaccines, is 13%. Q1 versus Q4 is 9%.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks, and a very good quarter. So just on ALOS, what's really helping us drive it down so much? Excluding the COVID quarters, I mean, we used to be around 4, now come down to 3.4, and what's the outlook for this?
So, Sameer, what we've really done is to focus on really driving down the ALOS, recognizing two things. One is that we are using robotics and minimally invasive, and this enables us to discharge much faster. The second is that we really want to make it cheaper for the patient. So any extra day means that they would, have to pay one more day room rent. And for us, the earnings are higher in the first 3 days. So we have taken clinical initiatives as well as operational initiatives to see that discharge happens much faster. We track these metrics on a month-to-month basis. So currently, I think that, we've really done well this quarter. And considering that, most of our work is now surgical, we can definitely look forward to moving towards, keeping it at 3.4. We've also introduced new procedures, which is TAVI, as one of the cardiac procedures versus CABGs. In knee transplants, we also have robotic, and we have 20% of our business is now daycare with laparoscopic.
Okay, great. This has released a lot of your capacity, so that's a good job done. And the second question is on Gurgaon project. Krishna, how much CapEx do you need to do for this project? And my understanding is Gurgaon is a fair bit competitive market. So how will you attract the best medical talent, and can the road to profitability be a lot longer?
So what we plan now is, we've paid 450 crores for 5.67 acres. We think, there is a building that is existing there. So we will invest another 350 crores, taking the project cost maybe up to 900 maximum. And with regard to competition, I think that we have a clear plan on how to attract talent. We also bring talent from overseas. And I'm sure that, we spoke about an integrated network. So we will have a funnel. One funnel will be part of the 24/7 consumers that will send patients to Gurgaon. The second that we have is our relationship with corporates, which is really, really high. And I think the whole Apollo reputation in Delhi with what we started with in Indraprastha, I think the trust in Apollo is very strong, and doctors continue to be very happy to join an Apollo facility. And finally, I have to say that, we will get a lot of international patients because we are working on that channel, and Gurgaon is probably the best place to be in if you're focused on that channel. So really, I think for me, the most important thing is improving the clinical work that is existing now in Delhi, is to take it to another level and therefore attract both doctors and patients and make the right investments in infrastructure and in technology.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My first question is on
Apollo 24/7 spend. So Sanjeev mentioned about some initiative investment which you have taken to increase your standing in the market. So can you please bit elaborate, like, where is majority of spend happening, whether it's on the infrastructure, IT, or on the discounts, if you can provide some better clarity.
Yeah, so about 25% is the expenditure that is getting into the product and the technology side of it. And, you know, when I'm talking about the technology, it is the entire app experience, it's the entire web experience, and the entire TDSS and CIE engine that we are working on. So that is about 25%. We are also ensuring that the adequate capacity with respect to the knowledge and manpower is there pan-India at the right verticals, at the right places. So about 30 to 35% is getting into the augmenting of resources. We have about 20 to 25% of the cost which is getting into some sort of a branding, and this is to ensure that, you know, the communication to the customers with respect to the various services that digital line of the business as well as the entire Apollo ecosystem, you know, gets communicated. And about 10 to 15% expenditure is getting into user acquisition, and that is to ensure that, you know, you get new set of users, chronic users specifically, and you know, the digital spend is within this 10 to 15%. And the remaining 8 to 10% is towards the other infrastructure, primarily the support side of it.
So that's helpful. And what is the discount on the orders at this point of time compared to peers? You mentioned you have already taken some reductions, but where do you stand?
Yeah, so last quarter we saw discounts in the range of about 18%, and that was the whole of the entire Q1. July, we started tapering down the discounts, and much of the things, you know, have to happen from, you know, how exactly the external forces are working. External forces in the sense the competition out there, and secondly, what is the mix of, you know, repeat customer, repeat cohorts, and the chronic cohorts. Depending upon all this, we take the calculated decision, and in July month, we have reduced discount by 1%. I think I also see another, you know, headroom for 0.5% to 0.75%. Something in this range should happen during current month or maybe by end of the next month.
So broadly, you will be standing at 16-17% discount in near term, and then going ahead depending on how market evolves.
I think, yeah, that would be fair, man. I think 16.5% should be, or 16.75, that could be the numbers that we can look out for Q2. And, you know, as far as the external forces or the environment is concerned, given the fact that, you know, we've got the very high Apollo, you know, internal base of customers, you know, we do not get much impacted as the competition out there is concerned. So I think we should be able to hit this number of 16.5 to 16.75.
Okay. And my last question is on ARPOB. Very strong growth, 27% year on year. So ma'am mentioned pair mix change obviously helped. But how much of contribution is there from price hike in this rise, and whether this should be sustainable going ahead? So ma'am, my question was on ARPOB, very strong number. You mentioned it was helped by the pair mix improvement. But my question is, does it include a component of price hike, and whether this kind of growth is sustainable?
Yeah, so, you know, ARPOB, you know, there was a small price hike of 2% that we have done, and it is inclusive of that. And this is something, you know, the mix, the advantage, there are two, three levers on the ARPOB. One was one was the surgical mix. If you look at the surgical mix, it's rebounded significantly, and we are now at 68% of our revenues comes from surgeries. So that's one important lever which has impacted our ARPOB positively. We are continuing to see also a good case mix, you know, aided by insurance and walk-ins. You know, so insurance itself, which was around 34%, has now become 41%. And so clearly there are good levers that are helping us get the ARPOB, and this is sustainable.
Okay. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Gupta from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are audible. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Congrats for the good set of numbers. I just want to know regarding the CAPEX plans, if any, regarding the hospital segment, do you plan to expand?
So, you know, our routine CAPEX you're meaning or our project CAPEX that you're asking?
Routine as well as projected, sir.
So routine CAPEX, you know, which is part of our cash flows, etc., from our every year, it is approximately around 300 crores. That's the number that we have as routine CAPEX at a consolidated level, and that will continue for now. The free cash flows even after that would be in the region of around 800 plus crores, which is what is the CAPEX, routine CAPEX that we have. And this free cash flows is what we are going to be using for deployment in new projects, etc. As you know, we already have free cash in our hand. And even, you know, Naiti has the Gurgaon asset acquisition happened in Q2. So we would, which is the 450 crores that we spent towards Gurgaon. So clearly the free cash flow plus the cash that we have in our hand of almost around 900 crores, even after, you know, is something that we can use towards some of our expansions. We have announced two expansions, one in Chennai and the other one which is in Gurgaon. And we have said that we are looking at Bangalore as well as we are looking at North. So we are comfortable that a combination of this, plus there is a receivable from Apollo 247 of 1200 crores, which we hope that we will get over the next 1 year, if not in the coming round, the next round or whatever. There is a amount that will come to us. So over the next 3 years, the free cash flow will be used, plus this Apollo 247 can help us in our expansion. So current expansions that we have announced is the Chennai one and the Gurgaon one, 900 crores in Gurgaon and maybe 800 crores in Chennai.
Understood, sir. And sir, regarding ARPOB, at the end of financial year 23 and 24, what kind of ARPOB that you are targeting?
So the ARPOB that we are targeting, is it? We don't have any specific targets. You know, I think, you know, this is a good ARPOB that we are focused on. You should appreciate that our ARPOB numbers that we gave are net of fee-for-service doctors. So if you look at it, our ARPOB is really driven by not driven by price. It's driven mostly by case mix and allos and day surgery, etc. That is what we have been focusing on increasing our ARPOB. And this is an ARPOB that we have, which is a combination of tier 1 and tier 2, right? If you look at it, you know, we have a lot of tier 2 hospitals across our system and network, and this is after that. So if you actually gross up for the fee-for-service doctors, this ARPOB will actually go closer to the 60,000 rupees. From a gross ARPOB perspective. So this is a good ARPOB. We will continue to focus on this ARPOB and grow from here.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harith Ahmed from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So I'm looking at the combined pharmacy business. There's been a decline in EBITDA margin by around 180 basis points quarter on quarter from 9.3% to 7.5%. But when I look at the back-end pharmacy margins, it's been flat quarter on quarter. So can you help me understand this discrepancy?
Yeah, as you rightly said, you know, the back-end pharmacy margins remain the same at the earlier level. And in the front-end retail pharma business, there are 2-3 developments that happened during the quarter which brought in one-time cost. Like we have been working on aligning the Amazon systems for a pan-India operationalization of their deliveries, and that online technology cost, we completed that online alignment and that cost have come into this quarter. Also, we have created necessary infrastructure for Amazon deliveries to enhance their numbers. We have created about 16 dark stores in Mumbai city alone and about another 12 dark stores in other parts of the country to see that, you know, Amazon reaches the entire country with our network available in other states. And also that we have now, enhanced our rollover on the pharmacies. we have about 230-240 pharmacies open during the quarter against our normal run rate of about 140. All these one-time events brought about 25-30 crores additional cost. Out of that, about 20 crores is one time. So we expect margins to come back to normal in the next quarter.
Okay, got it. And next one is on the diagnostic business in AHLL. So there's been a decline in revenues and margins over the last few quarters. So I understand that we had RT-PCR revenues in the previous quarters. But still the EBITDA margin decline for this quarter is at 5%. So the decline seems to be a bit sharp. Any one-offs that you would call out there?
Chandrasekhar?
Yes, on the margins, yes, the COVID, the change in case mix has one part of our impact on the margin, but primarily the others are in the nature of investments that we are making in the beginning of the fiscal year. These are in the nature of tech investments, upgrading our abilities to serve digital logistics side. We also have seen a slight increment in consumable costs because of certain freight and other logistics-based inflation. We made a lot of investment which leads to higher OPEX in upping our technical capabilities. We are moving into super specialized areas such as oncogenomics, reproductive genomics, and a few others, which has called for both enhancement of a doctor, infra, scientific sales force, and product teams. So this is something which we believe is going to even out as the revenues start coming from these super specialized areas of work and is in the nature of investment. So we should get back on the mature level to the EBITDA margins at a better level than we have. We also have lastly a cost overhang. This is on account of the large infra doctors and technicians that we created for RT-PCR testing across the country. This cost overhang remained unutilized during this quarter. So we are going ahead of time in terms of our plebo expansion. So that we are beefed up to cater to demand that is coming from home collection. This plebo expansion also leads to a higher of the investment and operating expense. But all of this will get evened out in the coming quarters.
Okay, last one from my side with your permission. So when I look at your SEBI disclosures, there's a revenue of 63 crores under 24/7 digital, and versus the GMV that you disclosed of 215 crores, this is close to 30%. Seems to be on the higher side versus the take rates that you mentioned, 5-10% for consultations and 12-13% for diagnostics. So can you help me understand this revenue number that you've disclosed for 24/7?
Sanjeev would have to answer that. Sanjeev, you have to answer that.
I'm not too clear about the question. There was a little bit of disturbance.
I'm not clear about the question, me too. If you want to repeat that?
Yeah. So in your SEBI filing, there's a revenue disclosed for 24/7 digital under the segmental disclosures. That's 63 crores. That's 30% of your GMV of 215 crores. So it seems to be higher the take versus the take rate that you mentioned, which is around 5-10% for consultation and 12-13% for diagnostics. So that's what the question is.
No, sir. The number that you're reading is in rupees lakhs. So what you are reading as a 63 crore is okay. Actually 6.3 crores.
Okay, 6 crores. Okay, got it. Thank you. That's all from my side.
The next question is from the line of Shaleen Kumar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. So, two questions. One, is it possible to get some sense on contribution from COVID vaccine at EBITDA level in a base quarter?
Only 11 crores of revenue in the first quarter. The EBITDA will be somewhere around 12-13%.
So base quarter, last year base quarter. First quarter of last year.
For the base quarter, it was 211 crores.
That's the revenue, right, sir?
That's the revenue. EBITDA would be around 15%.
EBITDA will be around 15%. All right. Okay. To ma'am, you alluded, that external fundraise you're pushing by 6 months in the last call. Is the timeline intact for that? I mean, which effectively means that you would be looking at fundraise in probably third quarter. Is there any change of plan over there?
No, we're on track to close for December.
Okay, by calendar year end, you should be able to close an external fundraise.
Yes.
All right. That's it
from my side.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, and good afternoon to all. On the hospital business, we've seen a good margin traction, and so is the case with the peers that reported so far. Just trying to understand, in our case, how do we see the margins tracking ahead, given that we are adding some hospitals? So what is the margin trajectory in the hospital space that we expect over the next 1 to 2 years? And pardon me if you already discussed, I joined a bit late, so we were on other call.
Sure. So first point, at the first level, we are our occupancy is 60%, as you know, and we are looking at increasing this to 70% over the next over the next 12 to 15 months. That itself should give us a good kicker, because a 60 to 70% occupancy means a 15% increase in volumes, and that should increase our revenues by 25% and hopefully our EBITDA by 35%. So that's what we are trying to work on, and with that, if that works, that should also ensure that our margins go from the current 24 to at least 26-27%. So that's at one level. The expansions that we are talking of will come after that, right? Because all of our expansions, the Gurgaon, which should be the first, which should come in, will be 24 months from now, followed by Chennai. So which is how we are looking at this, and I guess we don't see any problems with the margins for now.
Okay, lovely. And what about some other expansion plans? You talked about Mumbai. Is there any update there? And in the past calls or the annual report, you talked about adding a few more hospital beds. If you could update us, what's the plan there?
Continuing to work on them. So these two together, it's 1,000 beds now, right, between Chennai and Gurgaon. 1,000 beds is something that is there. Because Gurgaon can, with phase two, can go up to 650 beds, even if we started at 500. So it can go to 650 beds potentially. This is 1,000 beds now that we are focusing on. You will hear from us. We are looking at the north for expansion. We are looking at Bangalore. So all of this, we will come within the next 2-3 years once we start. So that's how we are looking at it. And we are looking at bolt-on also. If there are any bolt-on acquisitions which come our way, we would look at it.
And so is there an update on Mumbai?
Working on it still.
Hello?
Still working on it. I don't think there is any further update that we have on Mumbai.
Okay, and moving to the 24/7, so there is a change in guidance in terms of the investments that we plan to do. If you don't mind, if you could, as you already said, then if you could repeat the same, please. Why the change? What's the thought process? Are we seeing more traction, or are we seeing less traction and we need to invest more?
Sanjeev, in fact, we are seeing very good traction, and that's why we are investing, but Sanjeev will add on to it.
So we are seeing very high traction into the business. In fact, we are, almost there to become number two online player in the country. And the 1,000 crore of guidance that we gave the last quarter earnings call, I think we are well within there to reach a 1,500 crore mark. And so this is one side of it. As far as the overall investment into the company is concerned for the current year, which is which we assume to be higher by 20%. I think much of the investment is kind of investment ahead of sales kind of a thought process. We are building up certain capacities, tech and infrastructure is taking some bit of expenses. But yes, very much we are looking at very high traction into the business as well.
Okay. And any color on the pharmacy business? We have earlier guided for 15 to 20% growth, and I see that we are flattish. So, has the competitive intensity
gone up. What are we feeling now, and what are we expecting for the remaining 9 months?
So we expect our growth for the year to be in the range of 22% for the offline network. And adding from the online, we expect to be anywhere about 27%+ growth for the current year. The Q1 generally, as you know, we have Q4 some COVID impact, and then generally Q1 is a sluggish quarter with April, May, lesser sales. We are seeing the growth coming back, and we are on track for about 20-22% offline, coupled with online about 27-28% growth for the year.
So last year combined pharmacy business reported was around 6,800 crores, and the target is over 8,500. Over 8,500.
Okay, this is combined, including the Amazon.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Agarwal. May I request you to rejoin the queue for follow-up questions, sir? There are several others waiting for their turn as well.
Complete this question if you don't mind.
All right.
Yeah, please continue.
Yeah. So this includes the Amazon piece as well.
Yeah, it includes Amazon, but that we expect to see the traction next year because we have set up the system aligned system integration and the infrastructure. We expect that to grow.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Request participants to please submit your question to two at a time. The next question is from the line of Shaleen Kumar from UBS. Please go ahead. Shaleen Kumar from UBS, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. He seems to have lost his line, so we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Amit Ganatra from Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just wanted to understand this entire, you know, long-term thought process on Apollo 24/7. Now, this year, you know, there is a GMV that is expected to be around 1,500 crores, and there is a certain investments that you are planning to make. Now, next year, if the GMV doubles and becomes 3,000 crores, so how do we then, you know, view the investments? I mean, investments also, you know, keep on going up, or they remain capped at whatever, you know, we are doing annually this year. How to, you know, link these investments to GMV from a long-term perspective?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the way to look at this is that, you know, where exactly this investment is going on. You know, in one of the previous questions, I gave the answer that, you know, about, 25-30% is happening into the product and technology side, and about 30-35% is into the operations, you know, building of the capacity around operations, and you know, the other support 10-12%. So essentially, about 65-70% is the investment that is getting into building up the company or the network or the capacity. Now, obviously, you know, when you double the next year or 2-3 times, I don't need to double or triple all these costs, because your platform, you know, whether it is Android or iOS platform or the website, that wouldn't require same kind of investment, even if the traffic, you know, doubles or goes, you know, 5 times or 10 times. So as we ramp up year on year, I don't see that, you know, our numbers or all the expenses to go in the same fashion. In fact, we would get a large scale benefit across the expenses, as well as, you know, we'll have a lot of benefit with respect to the commission structure. So I think the way to look at this is that any e-commerce company, you know, once gets a substantial portion of the business or the transactions becomes substantial, in our case, we look at something like, you know, about 250 to 300 crore of a monthly GMV would be the goal spot, so to say. You know, until that, you know, whatever capacity that we have built up today is good enough for us to, you know, continue. I don't see that, you know, we'll be raising our bar as far as the expenses side is concerned. Some 10-15% or 20% expenses will go up, but that is a natural phenomenon year on year, but not a direct proportion.
So just to, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, what you said was that till the time that you can reach 200 to 250 crores monthly run rate, you are creating capacity for that kind of an outcome. Is that correct understanding?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Understood. Thanks. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm done.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vihang Subramanian from Zaba Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just one from my side. On the pharmacy distribution piece, if I'm correct, there's a lot of unorganized stores, right? Single stores which are sort of losing their competitiveness. So instead of a store expansion strategy or in addition to a store expansion strategy, have you considered, you know, an acquisition strategy as well? Because there's a lot of regional familiarity that you can get by acquiring smaller stores, right?
Yes, I'll ask Kobalt one.
We have our network partners, you know, doing the distribution bit for us, and we don't get into the pharma distribution acquisition. As far as the front-end network is concerned, we are aligned, you know, and our expansion is across the country.
Oh, so just to add some color to that, they did do an acquisition of Hetero, which happened 4 to 5 years ago. But I think the team has become very efficient in starting their own stores. So, and the cost of creating a new store is better than acquiring the small mom-and-pop stores.
Understood. Understood. Sure. And just another thing, on the 24/7, I think you had mentioned to an earlier participant about the sales and the GMV. I wasn't really clear on that. So the, if the GMV is like 1500 crores, I was under the understanding that that is sales plus GST, right? So sales should be like 70% of GMV, right? Or is that wrong?
That's correct, but that gets captured at the back end, which is the pharmacy distribution. That's what Sandeep
got it. Got it. Yeah. Okay, got it, got it, got it. Sure, yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Gupta from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. So just want to get a clarity on the Amazon deal. So like what kind of cost sharing is there between Apollo and Amazon? And what kind of discount is borne by like Apollo takes all the discount cover?
Yeah, so so I think, you know, on the second part first, you know, as far as the discount side is concerned, what, you know, has been agreed with you know, Amazon is 15% discount. And so that is the benchmark that we're looking at it. But you know, they're allowed to offer discounts with respect to, say, Amazon Pay or the third party you know, financial, you know, instrument provider. So it could be any bank offering, say, another 5% cashback, so on and so forth. But those such deals are, in any case, are there in every e-commerce platform. So I think that part is on to them to, you know, bring the right set of deals to the customers. But from the baseline discount is concerned, it is 15%. That is one. Secondly, the first question, you know, what are the economics between the two, between the partners? I think we all, both the companies are playing to their strength. Amazon is playing to the strength of the customer experience, the customer's acquisition, you know, putting up the branding, marketing, and then the delivery side of it. Because Amazon has got a wide network and they can easily access that, I mean, millions of orders they serve every day. So they are playing to their strength. Apollo is, we are playing to our strength. Our strength is to have a right set of assortment at the right place, the entire the picking, packing, the billing, all that. So this strength is being played at our end. So this is how we have kind of constructed the entire deal.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining this call. I believe that at Apollo Hospitals, we have always taken a long-range view on financial and operating sustainability and value creation, and we believe that this is the only reliable path to institution building. As you have seen over the past years, we have created several verticals, and all of which are growing. The hospital vertical, the pharmacy with the digital, and Apollo Health and Lifestyle. So I look forward to a continued engagement with all of you, and thank you for joining this call.
Thank you. On behalf of Apollo Hospitals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.